Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Flowing with the Pastors, Real Talk Radio. God bless you. God bless you. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you from New Creation Christian Ministries in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And it is a blessing and a privilege to be able to come and share with you on today, along with my wonderful, wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons. God is good. Oh, yes, God is good and worthy to be praised. And I bless his name today. I praise his name today. I magnify the name of the Lord today. God is good. I tell you, if you haven't thought about his goodness on today, I just want you to take a minute and think back over your life. You know, think things over. Think about some of the stuff that God has brought you through. Think about some of the messes that God has brought you out of. Think about some of the blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon you. I tell you, it just makes you feel like shouting, amen, when I think about the goodness of the Lord, when I think about his mercy. It just makes me feel like shouting, amen, amen, and praise the Lord. As you can see, I have a praise in my heart. I'm magnifying the Lord on today. I'm in the middle of a miracle. My miracle is 50% complete, amen. And I just love God today. I love him. I thank him for waking me up this morning. I thank him for my right mind. I thank him for the ability to speak, the ability to see and hear. We take so many things for granted, but God is just awesome. He's just awesome. So we're excited about today's broadcast. We want you to get on the phone, call somebody. Call somebody and tell them that Flowing with the Pastors Real Talk Radio is on the air. Have them to tune in. Tune in to blogtalkradio.com/power so that they can be blessed. Amen. If you're being blessed by this broadcast, we ask that you go ahead and rate us. As you rate us, that moves us further up on the program so that we'll be able to be seen as soon as the 12 o'clock hour comes up on the on-air schedule. You'll see us by giving us that five-star rating. But be honest, amen, if there's room for improvement, we can handle that. Just give us your suggestions. Put a comment in there. Let us know what you like. Let us know how you think we can better serve you, amen. Let us know some of the things that you would like to see us do, some of the things that you would like to hear us talk about, and we will definitely be more than happy to take that to prayer before the Lord and be able to minister to you in that particular area. So we thank God. We thank God for today. Amen. The chat room is open. The phone lines are going to be open later. You can call in the phone number. You can write it down now, because when we open up the phone lines, you want to be one of the first people to call in. And the phone number is 646-652-4832. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I'm joined with my wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony. We're coming to you all the way from Elizabeth, New Jersey, New Creation Christian Ministries, over on 87 First Street. And if you're looking for a church home, if you're looking for some place to go and worship the Lord, then you want to come on over to Elizabeth. Come and check us out. Come and worship God with us. Come and praise the Lord with us. You will be blessed by your experience. It's the experience that makes a difference. Oh, yes, it is. It is the experience that makes a difference. Hi, honey. God bless you. Good to have you on the air with me on today. Good to have you as my co-host on Tuesdays. I tell you, what's going on?
Oh, everything is going on, and God is good all the time. All the time, God is good.
Yes,
amen.
He is.
I cannot say that enough. That's repetitive, but it's the truth.
Hey, ha. Amen. Amen. And I tell you, I'm praising him. I'm going to let you take the lead, Pastor Anthony, on today. I'm going to back up, slow my roll, and let you take the lead. As you know, everybody that knows, that listens, we're I'm recovering from eye surgery. I'm 47 years old, and I have cataracts. I had cataracts in both eyes. But the Lord, what the devil meant for harm, what the devil meant for evil, God turned that thing around and made it for my good, because he has given me almost 20/20 in my right eye, hallelujah, without corrective lenses, and we're looking for more of the same in the left eye. So, Pastor Anthony, I'm just going to just let you take the lead. I'm going to follow your lead today. How's that?
Amen. I hope I live up to your expectations on today. I'm so used to following your lead as far as this program is concerned. But I am excited today. I know that, you know, it is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. In these United States of America, we recognize this as Veterans Day.
Yeah.
Amen. We honor our veterans today, those who fought for this country, those who have served the military force, those who are still, you know, out there serving us. We just want to honor our veterans today. You know, Pastor Rebecca, my father was a veteran.
Wow.
The Vietnam War, yes, absolutely. And some of the old photographs that my mother has in her photo albums, I see him in his uniform, and he was a veteran, as well as my oldest brother, Larry,
yes,
who served over 23 years in the Air Force.
Mm.
And he finally came out a couple of years ago. He still actually works with the military, and he just relocated him and his wife back to Germany. And I just, you know, as you well know, you have veterans in your own family.
Yes.
Your brother Gary.
My brother Gary. I want to
Amen.
Talk about him. That he served 23 years in the Navy, and he came out as a chief petty officer. And he's retired last year after 23 years, and he still also works with the U.S. Armed Forces. And my brother-in-law, Derek, served over 20 years with the Army. And,
Amen.
You know, we still have Jackie, who's in Kuwait right now. She's still in the Army after 20-plus years.
Amen. The Bible said give honor where honor is due, and we just want to pause, you know, for the cause and thank those who have served this great country, who have kept us safe, who has allowed the Constitution of the United States of America to go forth, and we don't want to take anything for granted and just thank God for those who have served this great country. It's just an awesome thing that, you know, I remember my brothers. Yeah, actually, I had two other brothers that went into the military, but they did not serve, you know, the time that they were required to serve. But it's just an awesome thing, those who have went and put in the time required as far as military duty is concerned.
Amen.
And it's just a wonderful thing that, you know, I in my travels today, I saw a couple of older men wearing army uniforms or hats or I guess medals, if you will. And,
wow.
It, you know, it kind of did something to me to see that they're walking around proud today. And I'm sure there's coverage on the televisions, and I'm sure something's going to come from the White House that will honor our veterans and acknowledge those who have served this country. So we did want to, you know, take time out today to, you know, at the beginning and the outset of this show to talk about, you know, the veterans who have served this country. And, you know, later on as we open the phone lines, I hope that the callers call in and share if they're parents or brother or they know someone, you know, and, it, you know, they just want to thank them publicly and acknowledge them because, you know, we take so much for granted. And we just need to give thanks where thanks is due. So I'm excited about that. And, you know, another thing that we are, you know, you and I wanted to talk about today is this area of forgiveness.
Yeah,
that is
so important. And I do want to, I forgot, Pastor, to even open with prayer. So I guess that would be a good time to pray right now when you were talking about the veterans and the war that's still going on and even, you know, basically having our new president and being able to lift him up in prayer because he certainly has his job cut out for him.
Absolutely. And the one that ran against him, you know, John McCain served this country. And it's just so awesome that he's a veteran that we should acknowledge him as well, you know, for doing so much that he did in his military service to this country.
Amen.
And, you know, the whole country thanks him for that.
Amen. Praise God.
But, yes, open with prayer, and we'll get right into, you know, what the Lord leads us to do today. Amen.
Amen. So you want me to open in prayer?
Yes, you can open in prayer, absolutely.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. We magnify your name. You are worthy to be praised. There's none like you, Lord, and we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise today just because of who you are. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. We thank you for our right mind. We thank you, Lord, for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We thank you for the kingdom of God today, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have left us to be the salt of the earth and the light of this world. Lord, right now, even today, we take time to recognize the veterans, Father God, who have served in the Army or the United States Armed Forces. In the name of Jesus, we pray for every person who has served in the Navy, the Air Force, every person that has served in the National Guards and the Marines, God. We pray for every single person, Father God, who has sacrificed, Father God, their time and their lives, Father God, for this great country that we live in, this United States of America. And Father God, right now we pray for all of the soldiers, Father God, who are right now serving, Lord, in the name of Jesus, even in the midst of this war that has gone on for too long, Father God. We lift up each and every man, each and every woman, Father God, who serving in the armed forces, and we ask that you put a hedge of protection around them, put a hedge of protection and keep them, Father God. Keep them from harm, Father God. We ask, Father God, that you bring the troops home, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and in this war, Father God, in the name of Jesus, bring home our brothers and our sisters and our uncles and our aunts and our daughters and our sons, our nephews and our nieces, Father God. Bring home those who are serving so bravely, Father God, for this country, Father God. And we ask, Father God, that you, Father God, bless the families of those who have lost loved ones in the war, Father God, those who have had to bury their sons and their daughters and their husbands and their wives, Father God. Bless, Father God, those who have had to say goodbye to family members, Lord, and bless all of those who were disfigured, Father God. And Father God, give them hope for tomorrow. You said that you know the plans that you have for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future. And we pray, Father God, for President Barack Obama, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would give him wisdom, Father God, that you would give him discernment, God, that you would give him boldness and courage with which to lead this country, Father God, even for President Bush in his last 2 months as President, God. We just ask that you would continue to guide him, Father God, in the way that he should go, Father. And we lift up John McCain, Father God, and thank you even for the service that he has given to this country, Lord. So we ask that you have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Father God. Help us to be better citizens and help us to remember those who have sacrificed so much for us. And even now, we pray for this broadcast as we go forward. Our word, our lips, Father God. Let the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, Father God. Even as my husband, Father God, goes forward to be the predominant host, Father God, on this broadcast. We just ask that you use him and use me, Lord, to your glory. And at the end of this time, we ask that you even bless every listener, Father God, every person that tunes in, every caller, and every person that listens to the archive. And at the end of the day, we will give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Bless God from Zion. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. You know, Pastor,
yes.
Heather, this area of forgiveness, as you were praying, you know, I thought about, you know, what Jesus did in that sixth chapter according to Matthew. He opens that chapter, which we're talking about giving, how we should give and not allowing the left hand to know what the right hand is doing. In other words, as we, you know, give our tithes and our offerings and give to God's kingdom in the earth, we ought to keep that discreet. But he goes on to teach his disciples how to pray. And he follows that, you know, not to be like other people, you know, the hypocrites of that day, to do things outwardly for recognition. He said they'll get their just reward. But he said, go into your closet and pray. And what you do secretly, I'll bless you publicly. Oh, glory, I love that. What we do secretly, God will bless us publicly. But, you know, it's so ironic. I'm going to just read these two verses. Right after the end of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Listen to what it says. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
My God.
And sometimes, you know, we got to look at that thing because if you're struggling with forgiveness today or forgiving someone, if you're in that place where you have not truly let it go and relinquished, you know, released that offense, God is saying to us today, we must forgive for him to forgive us. Because it's one of those things where I believe so many people are stuck because of this thing called forgiveness or unforgiveness.
Yes.
I know over my life, there's some people I had to forgive. But guess what? There's some people that had to forgive me. Some people that had to forgive me of some of the things and some of the hurts, some of the offenses I brought to other people's lives throughout my lifetime.
Wow.
So we really, you know, whether you're going into another relationship, whether you're trying to get over the betrayal of a business partner, whether it's your own family member that did not live up to your expectations, I am finding just so, you know, and it's so disturbing to my spirit when I see not just these, you know, teenage and young adult men acting out, you know, as far as their behavior, and I look and when I get to talk to them, a lot of that stems from the anger that they have toward their fathers that did not live up to the responsibility and teach them how to be or become a man.
Wow.
And when you sit to counsel and talk to people, that anger comes forth, even out of their behavior. Some can't, you know, stay into a marriage. They can't know how to keep a sound relationship. Some of them are missing it as far as work and career because they still have this thing called anger that is stopping them from moving forth. And I'm starting to see it in even smaller kids that they have this anger because of their dysfunction in their family or their broken home. They have this anger sometimes toward mommy and daddy or whatever the case may be, and they really can't go and perform in school. They really can't thrive. They really can't excel because they have not yet forgiven.
Yeah.
And that's just how important this thing called forgiveness is. It really is a stumbling block. It really will stop you in your track. It really would allow us not to walk into what God wants us to walk into.
Yes.
So I know, you know, you and I, we're making no secret on this program or giving our testimony because I know how far God has brought us. It is our second and final marriage. And sometimes with divorce or if you have kids by, you know, someone in the previous relationship, the fact that they did not live up to their responsibility in helping you raise those children, the fact that, you know, sometimes infidelity, adultery took place, the fact that you had to get a divorce or, you know, heartache and pain was brought forth from that person that you once trusted. We, people of God, just have to allow God, and we cannot do this on our own, but we have to allow God to come in and step into that situation and allow us to really forgive those, not just with word service, but with our actions and a true heart of repentance and allowing those who we have messed up and messed over to forgive us as well.
Wow.
Because I think that is stopping so many people, not just in careers and relationships, but it's stopping you towards your purpose and your ministry and your divine plan that God has for you.
Yeah. Yeah, because that bitterness and unresentment and that bitterness and resentment that come as a result of the unforgiveness in your heart, that stuff, it really messes you up. I say it yokes you up. You know, it puts you in bondage, you know, Pastor Anthony, to the point where you can be doing normal stuff and everything could be fine, but then something can happen. You can have a trigger moment where all of a sudden you're flying off the handle or you're angry or depressed, and it wasn't even that great a deal what happened, but you have this underlying feeling of bitterness in your heart that's being provoked by every little thing that somebody does. It could be the same person that hurt you, or it could be somebody new that you're in relationship with. And until you literally let go of the old, you will never be able to really embrace a true love or be able to be open in a real relationship or even be able to openly interact with people that you even work with. You won't be able to trust anybody. You'll feel like everybody's against you and that nobody's for you. So forgiveness is just so important, and it's amazing that we're talking about on this today, because, you know, I wrote about this in The Cry of a Woman's Heart. I just had an interview on Saturday, and I thank Ms. D. Neal because she came over to listen on Saturday. I did see that she was there. And we were talking about being hurt and then turning around and having to forgive. But somebody might ask, how do you forgive when the hurt is so deep? You know, often we talk to people and they say, well, you don't know what they did to me. You know, how can you tell me to forgive?
Amen. Every situation, every circumstance, you know, every offense, everything is, you know, different in so many aspects. And only a person can stand in their own shoes and allow God to work with them in that situation. And that's why I said earlier, only God can remove sometimes the stain and the impact that offense has done to us. You and I know of cases where people have overcome everything and anything. I mean, from rape and molestation or abandonment to just the things that people do as far as your parent was not there and they ship you off down south to be raised by your grandparents. I mean, things like that go deep, and it's hurtful. I have seen that even in my own family, where my eldest sister was raised by my father's people. And, you know, she never really kind of got over that, the fact that the rest of us was raised by our biological parents to a degree.
Wow.
And it's
wow.
One of those things where, you know, she talked to me to some degree about it and my mom to some degree about it, and now she's on, you know, in heaven. But I remember her never really fully enjoying life and moving forward. It led to, you know, alcohol and drinking and drug usage because that unforgiveness, and that's why it's so serious. I don't know my sister's whole story, but as well as our listeners, I don't know their whole story or the offense. But I am just saying on the end of we have to forgive to move on in life, we must really trust God that he'll give us that healing balm of Gilead that we need.
Yes.
And it only happens through prayer.
Yes.
It can be as ugly. If we look at it in our carnal and natural mind, we'll never move past it. But if you get in a step in the spirit realm, you know, God was there with you through that thing, and God is still with you now, and he has a future for you. He has a plan and a hope for you. So we need to, you know, allow ourselves to be healed before we try to move on.
Amen. And the book of Galatians chapter 5 tells us that if we walk in the spirit, we will not gratify the lust or the desires of the flesh. You know, and it's just so important that you said that in order to forgive, we must be prayerful. We must be constant in prayer. We must be praying at all times, and we must be in the spirit. Because when we step out of the spirit into the flesh, that's when all types of nonsense can take place in our lives. We must, but not in order to stay in the spirit, we must get in the spirit. So, I mean, how do we go through this process? How do we go through the process of forgiveness? Is it something that we could take an altar call for? I know I've taken many altar calls for prayer, but what are some of the suggestions that you have, Pastor Anthony, for the process of forgiveness?
I mean, as far as my own personal journey, because there's some things that I was angry about. If you know my testimony, I was angry most of my young life. And one of the things that helped me was professional counseling, to really just see what is it that I'm upset about. You know, well, why am I so angry? And sometimes, you know, therapists and counselors and psychologists and psychiatrists, they have studied this. They have, you know, studied behavior. And sometimes we do need professional help. We do need therapeutic measures to get through some of the stuff. Some things you can't work out by yourself. You need counsel. You know, there's safety in a multitude of counseling. We need to talk to our pastors. We need to go to family counseling. You and I, you know, have sat with professional counselors, and that helped me a great deal. Another thing that helped me a great deal was to be around like-minded and people that have been through similar things. In our church, we went on retreats, and we did things as far as just men-only services and men-only group sessions. And as I heard some of the testimonies, as I heard some of the things that some men have been through, I was like, my God, and yet they're serving Jesus. Yet they've moved on to get saved. Yet they forgave and still trying to do better with their wives and their children and their lives. So it's one of those things that I had to see that was part of my healing process. And that's something that people who are struggling with this thing called forgiveness, sometimes you got to take an alternative road. If you have not really truly forgiven, sometimes you have to go to a counselor. Sometimes you have to go, and we call it a mountaintop experience, a getaway, and go somewhere where the word of God is being poured in specifically to you, because the word of God will not come back void. One thing, again, I can't get away from this prayer thing. Prayer is the number one thing we must do. We quote Mark 11:23 a lot when we say, you know, he said, ask, and if you don't doubt, you'll have what you ask, and if you don't be double-minded about it, you shall have what you say. But right at the end of that, he says, when you stay in praying, forgive. So it's almost a command.
Wow.
It's not like we have a choice in the matter. Jesus emphasized that in Mark and Matthew and all throughout the Bible, because he says, you know, forgive. It's not like he's asking us to do it. He's telling us to do it. And that's not being unsympathetic to people's situation. But as a Christian, we have so much power. We have so much anointing on the inside of us. We can do things way beyond our natural ability. And that's what I begin to tap into as a Christian. I begin to read the word. I begin to understand through recognition, you know, what I was totally angry about. And then I begin the healing process of going to church, getting this word poured into me, getting my minds on other things like pursuing my purpose and my dreams and my goals, getting my mind, you know, fast forward toward other things. Because if you're idle, can you imagine if you're idle, all you got to do is think about some of the stuff that happened in our childhood or our past.
Yeah.
So we
What did our mothers used to say, that an idle mind is the devil's playground?
Go ahead. That's right.
Yeah, an idle mind is the devil's playground.
We stay active, but we stay busy. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And those are just some of the things. I don't know if you have any things that have helped you. But
For me, it's the healing process. And I did go to counseling later. But by the time that I got to counseling, I had already forgiven, but I was still being healed. I went to counseling because, you know, when we wanted to be ministers, we had to go to counseling before we could become ministers. So I did go to counseling, but by then I had already made up my mind to obey God and to forgive the people that had hurt me in my past. I was sick and tired, you know. I was tired of being angry, tired of being bitter. I was tired of hurting. I was tired of the pain. Every time I remembered the pain, it just brought me right back into being mad again. So it was a vicious cycle. And I decided that I was going to take God's word and apply it to my life literally, you know, which is why people say you're so radical and you're so spiritual. But I tell people that I have to be, because this is all I know. This is what has brought me out through and over, to just become so attached to God and to his word, and to truly believe him and his word, to let him heal me from the inside out. And that's what my process was, to be in church every time the doors opened. I was there for church service. I was there for Bible study. I was there for women's retreats and women's meetings, for marriage ministry. Whatever I could find myself sitting under that word, that's where I found myself, wherever I could. And it had to be a good house, you know, because we came from a good house where the word of God was being ministered. And they were talking about this stuff, because there are a lot of churches that don't talk about unforgiveness. And Pastor Anthony, we have Dana Neal, and I want to bless her for being in the chat room and let everybody know that the chat room is open. But she says she thinks about it all the time. And she said it's a learning experience for adulthood. She says you never know. She said her parents are creative and entrepreneurs, but they didn't know how to love each other. And they didn't know how know how to love their children. You know, so now we are trying to work this stuff out as adults, and we still have more We still have more in our lives. You know, we still have more coming as we're trying to work out. And I understand totally what Dana is saying is we try to work out this stuff from our childhoods. You know, we some of us, if the truth were to be told, I talk about it in the cry of a woman's heart, we were dropped as children. And now we're trying to work out these issues that we gained as a result of being dropped. We're trying to work them out in our adulthood. And then now that we're adults, we have other people that we're trying to be in relationship with, and they add to our troubles, especially our, if we're married, you know, because Paul said in his life you're going to have many troubles, but when you're married, you're going to have even more. And isn't that the truth?
That is so true. And as a, like you said, as adults, if things are mounted onto the pain that we already have, that's double trouble. I appreciate what she said because I realize that a lot of my anger stemmed from my father not being there for us. And a lot of parents, you know, I think if they'd have known better, they would have done better.
Yeah.
Some went out to try to work. Some didn't know how to parent because they weren't parented. And, you know, you and I know our eldest son. He went through a lot of his younger years being angry. And I used to tell him constantly, you got to not just forgive me, your dad, but forgive so you can move on with life and go on and try to accomplish some things that you know are deep down in your heart. And it finally kicked in as he got, you know, as an older teenager, this kid started to laugh and play and begin to kind of enjoy life. But that's why I say even as young adults and teenagers, I don't think this thing is across the board for all of us. It's different in every given situation. So we really got to allow God to work in our situation because, Pastor Becker, as you just said, you know, even with the forgiveness as far as what we did, you know, as far as parenting, when we didn't know how to parent, I did not know how to raise children. I did not know. I was busy doing my own thing. And one thing that people got to realize, sometimes we think the recreational drugs and alcohol are there just to have fun, but a lot of it's masking pain when we drinking that liquor and doing drugs, we're masking a pain that we don't want to face sober.
Yeah.
So we really got to allow, again, if we're still drinking and drugging, we got to allow God to remove that because we cannot do it on our own.
Wow. And you can't.
And it's just
kind of
masking.
Healed. Right. Amen. And you can't get healed if you're drunk. You know, you can't get healed if you're high. You know, you have to allow God to strip you down. You can't get healed if you're running from, you know, if you're running and pushing people out of your life, you have to allow God to strip you down so that he can begin to heal you. You can't get healed by running from God because that's what you said, Pastor Anthony, that we can't do it by ourselves. And so many people run from God. They run from Christianity because they realize that there's a vulnerability in that.
Yeah, you have to trust an invisible God. And that was a risk for me coming from the world into the church for the pastor to tell me to trust this invisible God. But test after test, trial after trial, I begin to trust this God. And he never, oh, glory. And he never let me down. I just got, you know, I'm a try to stay calm, but I just got happy.
My
oh,
God.
Glory. My God.
God.
You know, I as I look back over my life and think things over.
Hallelujah.
God, he never has felt me.
My
he
God.
Has never felt me. And you know the kind of anger that I brought into our marriage. You know the kind of anger I used to have. And you look at me today, and I'm a new creation.
Ah,
the old is gone.
Glory.
Oh, glory. The old is gone. The new has come.
My
and
God.
And we read that thing in the Bible on Sunday at our church. Yes. We got to make room for the new stuff.
My God.
And that anger is not trying to make peace come in.
Yeah.
But peace is forcing its way into your life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Peace
Hallelujah.
Is trying to force its way in there. Peace wants to come to your mind. Peace wants to come into your marriage. Peace wants to come into your home.
Yes.
And God
Hallelujah.
Said, you might as well make room because it's on his way. He is a God of peace.
Hallelujah. My God. He's asking you to release something. You know, and that's amazing how when God is ready to bring you something, my God, he's asking you to release something to him. He wants you to release your anger to him, to release that unforgiveness to him, to release that person that hurt you to him. He wants you to give him to make a release, amen, to open up your heart, to open up your hands, to open up your soul, and let that ugly stuff, let the bitterness and the unforgiveness, let it come out. so that God can fill your heart with his peace and with his joy, and so that God can fill your life with his purpose and his power. And until we release, see, we have to trust God enough. It's just like when you get ready to sit in a chair. You know, when you get ready to sit down in a chair, you know that that chair is going to hold you up. You don't even think twice. You come into a room, you could be in that room for the first time in your life, and you see a whole bunch of chairs there. You sit in that chair, and you have no doubt that that chair is going to hold you up. And God is saying, I want you to treat me like you would treat that chair. I want you to put your weight on me, to rest in me, and have no doubt that I'm going to hold you up. Have no doubt that I will not drop the ball on you, that I will not let you fall, and that I will not let you endure any more than you can handle. God is asking us today to totally, totally trust him. To get, you know, and you know, think about unforgiveness, Pastor Anthony. People will hurt you as time goes by. I mean, we're
Say that again. There's some coming down the road.
My God. We're talking about past hurt. But people will hurt you as time goes by. I mean, that's why you got to let go of some of that old stuff so you can handle the stuff that's coming down the road. You know, because the older it gets, the more powerful it is in your life, the more power it has over you. So you want to let it go. You want to release that old stuff so that you can walk into the newness of life. But, you know, the thing about it is every day there's going to be somebody who will hurt you, and if you're interacting with people, it may be intentional or unintentional, you know. But the thing about it is that people will hurt you. They will hurt your feelings, amen. And the thing about it is you have to make up your mind that you're going to forgive that person immediately. The moment somebody hurts your feelings, just say, you know what? I'm going to let that one go. I'm going to forgive that person. They may have did it intentionally or unintentionally, but I'm not going to let this person have any more power in my life than they should have. And I'm going to release them right now into the hands of God, and I'm going to forgive. Right now, I make up my mind to forgive. That's the power that you have. And then don't dwell on it. Like we were talking about earlier, Pastor Anthony, just let it go. Let it go. Make a conscious choice to let it go. Let it go. And you will be free. You not only will you free that person, but you'll free yourself.
My God, you just said something right there. Oh, glory. You said not only will you free that person, but you'll free yourself.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
The Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Obedience.
Oh, glory. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And it goes even one step further as a bigger challenge. Love thy enemies. Oh, glory.
Ah,
love
glory.
Thy enemies.
My God.
You know, the Bible is so fascinating because the Word of God
about,
is.
Pastor?
Oh, my God.
What?
I'm about to just jump out of my skin right now. If that isn't a tall order, love the Lord thy God with all our power, our might, our strength. Then love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he goes on throughout the Bible to say, love your enemies. So we can't be loving on people if we're hating them because of something that they did to us. So we got it. That's why it puts it back right to God that he forgave us first.
Yeah.
It puts it right back that when we repented and got saved and asked God for forgiveness, even if we did something last night, we can repent and turn, and it's thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. That's how awesome our God is. And he says he'll remember our sins no more. So we got to forgive those. And it's just so beautiful, as you just said, it releases that other person.
Yeah.
It literally releases that other person. You and I have known cases where, you know, things have eaten people alive. It's eaten them over their lifetime, and illness and sickness and disease came in their body because they did things that they regretted. And as they almost went on to glory, they repented and said, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Because your conscience will never rest. That's why we don't have to do anything. We're thinking we're holding people in bondage sometimes. Their conscience is beating them up enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes they're not even thinking about us, Pastor Rebecca, but their conscience, their guilt is eating them up alive. So we'll let the Lord fight our battles. Our job is just to release that person because God will deal with their spirit. Nobody gets away with anything.
Nobody, my God, God will deal with their spirits, and God will deal with your enemies. You know, you don't have to hold your enemies, you know, feel like I'm going to make them pay, you know, for what they did to me. You don't have to do that, because God says that he will contend with your enemies. God said that he will deal with your enemies, and that's biblical, that's scriptural. So we have to be sure that we're not allowing ourselves to stand in the place of God. You have been created to worship God. You've been created to love, and you can do all things. I like what Dana Neal is saying, that we can do this thing with God's help. We can be better parents to our children. We can make amends with our children. With God's help, we can forgive people who have hurt us with the power of the Lord. So we have to realize that we have a very real power, but when we hold unforgiveness in our heart, in our hearts, it strips us of our power, because now your focus is all askew. Now you're focusing on the people, you know, what he did to you, what she did to you, what your parents did or did not do, and you're not really focusing on your life today, the present, life more abundantly that God has promised you in his word. So it's very important, and we're spending some time on this, because it's very important that we don't allow ourselves to go through life crippled. You know, unforgiveness can cripple you. Unforgiveness can cripple you. It can mess up every single relationship that you try to have. It can mess with your mind, that battlefield of the mind. So we just encourage you to get busy. You know, get busy, get into your word. You know, spend some time in prayer. Get busy praising God. You know, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Yet will I worship him. You know, yet will I magnify his name. Yet will I praise him. I think about this. Job was stricken. I mean, he lost everything. His children died. He lost his cattle. He lost his houses. Everything. And then he lost his health. And his friends came around him, his so-called friends. And all that they could do is talk about all the wrong that Job had done. And if Job would just get right with God, then God would heal him. You know, and you know, that's a trip. You know, that must have hurt Job to have his friends who knew him or were supposed to know him sitting around, you know, giving him this type of counsel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
of course it did something to Job, you know.
Yeah. You know, like, if you wouldn't have done this, then this wouldn't have happened. You know, have you ever? You know, it's like, you know I live for the Lord. And the first thing that goes bad, it's like you're gloating because of my demise, you know, because of things are going bad with me. But God wants us to recognize that people will miss it in our lives. You know, people will miss it. And I just recently had an encounter with someone who hurt me. You know, I was hurt. I was hurt, and I had two choices. I could have held a grudge against that person, and the next time I saw that person, I could have, you know, had a cold heart, folded my arms across my chest, and turned my head and put my nose in the air and said, I'm not talking to you because of the way you treated me. I'm going to make you bow down and kiss my feet. You know, you're going to pay for how you treated me. I could have did that, or I could have done the opposite, which is what I did. Right after it happened, I went to the Lord and I prayed, and I asked God to heal me, heal my heart. And then I asked God to create in me a pure heart, because my heart was tainted because of the experience. And I asked God to not take his anointing from me, because some of the times, some of the things that we go through will yoke up our anointing, where we're not able to minister truthfully in God's word, in his power. And then I asked God to help me to forgive the person who had hurt me. And then I asked God to forgive me for any error that I had made against that person, to cause that person to respond to me in such a way. And then the next time I saw that person, we had nothing but love between us. It was just beautiful.
Amen.
It was beautiful. I mean, we just embraced each other and, you know, shed a few tears. And we hadn't seen each other in about a month, but we were glad to see each other because we both made up our minds to forgive.
Amen. And it's a powerful thing, you know, when we can live out this Bible and see the Word of God really being lived out through our day-to-day living. The Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's just so awesome that you lived through that experience recently. And as you just said, some of us went through some things last month, last week, and we'll go through some things tomorrow. So this is a practice. This is a mindset. This is a lifestyle that we must adapt. You know, forgiveness has to be a lifestyle. It has to be something that we learn how to practice and make it become part of who we are. In other words, sometimes when we were carnal or natural or in our natural state, it took us longer to forgive. But now, as you just said, as we become more spiritual, that's why church attendance, that's why reading your word, that's why having a disciplined prayer life, that's why, you know, doing what you, the Bible says, blessed are the pure heart, blessed are the pure at heart, for they shall see God. And as you just said a few minutes ago, when we have that heart in heart, that's not a pure heart. So we gotta keep our hearts pure. And the only way we can do that is this thing called forgiveness. And it does become, it actually becomes a lifestyle, because when people offend you, sometimes even now, Pastor Beck, when you walk in the spirit, you can look past that offense saying, something's working through that person right now to rattle my feathers. That person ain't even mad at me. They just lost their job. Now they want to take a vent on me. And I didn't do nothing to them. You know?
Yeah.
So after a while, you can be so spiritual that you see beyond that natural human being that's doing something to you, and you see that spirit that's trying to work through them and get you off course.
Wow. Well, amen. And that's what Dana Neal was saying in the chat room, that it's hard to forgive. And she was saying something about having a pinched nerve in her neck. Yeah. You know, we have a phrase that people get on our nerves. You know, you're getting on my nerves. You are getting on my last nerve. And, you know, when you say that, you are really speaking the truth. Because when people get under your skin like that, to the point where they aggravate you, to the point where you are just like, everything, when they walk into the room, everything in you tenses up. You just, you just get hard, you know, when they come in the room. You just, you know, it's a reflex action. You know, your body goes into what they call fight or flight, and you get into defense mode. And your body has to actually constrict and go into a state of tension and able to take the stance that you take when that person that has gotten under your skin, that person that has gotten on your last nerve, comes into the room. Or even when you think about the person, you go into an automatic state of tension. And yes, that does play on your nerves. You will have neck ache, you will have back aches, you will have headaches, you will have a heartache. And look, I have researched this thing. Not only will your body ache, but there are cancers, there are different types of sicknesses that are affiliated with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness can make you sick, literally make you sick, because it's spiritual. You know, that is a spirit of unforgiveness that we choose to carry. And I say choose to carry because you can just do away with it. God would not tell you to forgive if it were not possible.
Hallelujah.
So
Hallelujah.
We can make a conscious choice and then go ahead and make a concerted effort to forgive those people who have hurt us and those people who hurt us. So, yes, it can make you sick, literally, to not forgive somebody who has hurt you, Dana. And I know, because I've had shoulder pains and neck pains, and I came out of Merrill Lynch. I worked at Merrill Lynch for 18 years, and my boss was my worst enemy. Every single day he got on my case, and I came out of Merrill Lynch. Even though I was a prayer warrior, a very spiritual woman, I came out of there, I was a wreck. And I'm a strong woman. But I had to forgive this man over and over again. You know, I had to forgive him every single day for 2 years. The whole 2 years, well, okay, a year and 9 months, because for the first 3 months he was on his best behavior. But for a year and 9 months, I had to forgive the person who was directly over me at that job. And it was not easy. I had to pray every day just to go to work. But God will not put any more on you than you can handle. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he will bring you out. Just when you feel like you can't take it anymore, he will provide a way of escape. And one of the ways of escape is through forgiveness. We want to recognize everyone in the chat room. God bless you. Peace in their paws. And also Mrs. D. Neal, also to our guests in the chat room. We thank you for being with us on today, and we also want to thank everybody for streaming. The phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. Pastor Anthony and I are passionate about this forgiveness thing because we have both been yoked up by unforgiveness. So if you want to call in, the number is 646-652-4832 in this last 10 minutes. But forgiveness is so important. You don't want to get sick. I have a cousin who is so mad at everybody in the family. And she was so beautiful. This cousin was so beautiful, but unforgiveness has even taken her looks. You know, because you get this bitter look on your face, and it looks like you've been my cousin doesn't look like this, but she can get to the point, if she doesn't turn it around, where it will look like she's been sucking on lemons. You know, where you get this bitter look on your face, you get a permanent scowl on your face. And for the women out there, I know, you know, for vanity's sake, we don't want that, do we? You know, so we just really have to, most importantly, obey God. That's what your obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And as we, you know, have about 10 more minutes or so left in the show, one thing that I want to highlight and get your, you know, thoughts on this is that how important is it, you know, sometimes to really be totally healed, not totally healed because God is working on all of us, but to be healed before you even try to enter into another relationship. Go into a marriage, because you and I, as marriage counselors, premarital counselors, now as pastors, have seen where people erred and rushed into something just trying to not necessarily master pain, but really not dealing with sometimes the pain or the offense in its entirety, so to speak. Because we've seen, and I've seen it personally, where people have rushed into another marriage or relationship. And not long into that relationship, there's an annulment or there's something that you thought you dealt with that arises that you really did not deal with. And that's why I said it can't be us. It just cannot be us. It really has to be a supernatural intervention from God. And this doesn't mean that you're not stuck the rest of your life and when is it going to be another perfect husband or wife that's out there for me. But we know when we're healed. Something resonates in your spirit, something is in your soul. You really, as you just said, when that person enters the room, there's nothing. Your pressure's not running up. You can go on. And the same thing with if you have children, you know, you look just like your father or you look just like your mother. You ain't going to be no good. And that anger sometimes, we need to know that's an indication that we're not totally healed.
Yes.
If we're comparing our children to our ex or we're still, like I said, we're adults and we still don't have a full relationship with our adult parents. It's time to have that heart-to-heart. And I was there. It was uncomfortable sitting down with my children, you know, and it's so uneasy. But we got to go through that process.
So what
I did not want to do it. I'm saying that for us to face the hard stuff, we need God to prompt us in that area, and then we must go ahead and live it out.
Yes.
I mean, you talked to your adult daughter. You know, you had a heart-to-heart. I talked to my adult son. We had a heart-to-heart. I talked to my own mother who's still living now. We had a heart-to-heart. So there's always time for resolve. There's always time for healing. So I don't care what you've done up until this point. There's always time to resolve and heal the past hurts.
Yes, I agree with that. And we were talking about adult children. You know, our relationships with our children are the most difficult ones, and relationship between children and parents. We were talking about parents. I see some conversation in the chat room about parents. And, you know, Pastor Emily and I, you and I both, we hated our fathers, you know, for a while and because of what they did to our mothers. And even our relationship with our mothers was strained. So God restored those relationships. And then even our relationships with our adult children, our 21-year-old son and our 30-year-old daughter, God had to even come in there and begin to do a work of restoration because I messed up. I mean, I totally messed up as a young mother with my oldest daughter, and she recently has even hurt me, but God has allowed me to keep forgiving, and it is my prayer that she will be able to totally forgive me for the errors that I made when she was a little girl. That's my prayer, that she will totally be able to forgive me and see how much I really do love her, you know, today. You know, I tell parents all of the time that we can't go back and undo the mistakes that we made in the past. All that we can do is go forward and be the best parents that we can be to our children. In
my
Christ,
God, Pastor
Becker,
how important is it to forgive ourselves?
Ah.
My God, we're talking about forgiving people who've offended us.
Wow.
How about as we look in the mirror?
Wow.
Forgiving ourselves. We are imperfect. We've been imperfect. How important is that?
Yeah, my God. And that's so important because the thing about unforgiveness is we sometimes hold on to unforgiveness against other people because it does let us off the hook. It lets us off the hook. You know, if I forgave my father for abandoning me, then that would let me off the hook because I already said that when you release somebody else, and God said when you release somebody else, you release yourself. He said when you forgive someone else, you read the scripture, Pastor Anthony, he said then he forgives you. But if you don't forgive, he said, then you won't be forgiven. So some of us hold on to unforgiveness as a crutch. You know, we literally don't want to move forward, and we hold on. We're like, I'm going to hold on to this because I don't deserve to be forgiven. I'm not worthy of God's forgiveness. So the
sabotage.
Thing that we have to do, sabotage, self-sabotage. So what we have to do is we have to receive God's forgiveness. You know, we have to realize that God does really love us. And that, you know, we may never be worthy of his love, but he chose to love us, and he chose to send his son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice so that we could be forgiven and so that we could come back into relationship with him. And isn't that the best example of how we can relate to ourselves and other people? That we see if God valued us enough to forgive us, then we should value ourselves enough to forgive ourselves.
Amen. That is so powerful. Even at the outset, you know, we were talking about Veterans Day, and there's been many war in this country where sometimes the veterans came home and they weren't received and they had to forgive, you know, to a certain degree. And it's just one of those things where, you know, as human beings, sometimes we're going to err, sometimes we're going to mess up. But even as we were talking during this broadcast, I thought about the man on the cross that asked Jesus to remember him when he enters into his glory. And he said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And it's just a beautiful thing that, you know, Jesus, even Stephen, when he was stoned, said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Jesus himself uttered those words.
Yes.
It's one of those things where our Lord and Savior, we got to take his example and his lead, you know, and really try to live this thing out called forgiveness and this thing called unforgiveness.
Yeah, we
and
got to
Pastor
break
Becker,
the cycle.
It's a beautiful thing when you break that cycle and move on. Life, he came that we might have it, what, more abundantly?
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, you have that abundant life. It begins right here, what we're talking about today. It begins,
yes.
I mean, with 50% of marriages ending in divorce, we need topics like this. A lot
Amen.
Of people are from broken homes.
Mm.
I mean, there's a lot of people from broken homes getting married with each other. They're hooking up with each other, and then that's
broken.
Another broken home.
Because they're broken. So you have two broken
My
people
God.
Hooking up together. So we have to break the cycle. We have to break the cycle. It's a generational curse. The curse has been broken by the blood that was shed on the cross. So we have to break that cycle off of our minds. Amen. I see in the chat room, and Pastor Anthony and you and I were talking about our parents and how they messed up. Their parents probably messed up, and their parents before them probably messed up, and therefore we messed up with our own children. If we don't break the cycle, then our children are going to repeat this nonsense with their children. So today, we encourage you, even in this last minute, to break the cycle. Be courageous enough to forgive today, to make the choice to forgive and to break the cycle. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And again, if you see a veteran or know a veteran, remind them and thank them. And if your father or your brother or somebody served, if you talk to them today, just acknowledge them and give them the honor that's due that they did serve this great country. And we have a lot of the liberties and freedoms that we have because of those who have served in our military forces. So, Pastor Becker, I'm just excited, you know, as you just talked about this topic and we talked, it covered forgiveness, that I just pray it bless someone today because it is a journey for us all. Some people have been through so much, And we don't want to take that lightly. And that's why I said some type of professional counseling is needed.
Yes. Amen. And we're going to go off the air. Yvonne Reese Tong, God bless you. Good to see you. I'm just going to close out in prayer. Father God, we praise your holy name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for every person that listened to this broadcast on today. And, Lord, we ask, Father God, that you touch the hearts of those, Father God, who are struggling and dealing with the spirit of unforgiveness. Lord, we ask that you go back into their childhood and heal the pain of the past, God. We ask, Father God, that you, Father God, take out the bitterness and the resentment and the unforgiveness from their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. God, we ask that you heal them, Lord, from the inside out, Father God. We ask, Father God, that you, Father God, would give them, Father God, that life and that life more abundantly, Father, that you, Father God, would make all things new. So help my brother, help my sister, help Dana, help all of those who have shared with us today. Help me and my husband to continue to surrender all to you. Help us to continue to forgive and continue to give, Father God, all of our cares to you because you truly do care about us. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this time today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's it for today's broadcast. We love you. We'll see you next time. God bless you all. And if you haven't known lately, know that God loves you. And so do we here at Flowing with the Pastors, right here on Real Talk at Block Talk Radio. Go in peace and serve the Lord. La 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 la